From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Jack Sonderegger, reading The UP Trail by Zane Grey. Now let's begin with The UP Trail. Forward. When I think how the railroad has been pushed through this unwatered wilderness and haunt of savage tribes, how at each stage of the construction roaring impromptu cities full of gold and lust and death sprang up, and then died away again, and are now but wayside stations in the desert. How in these uncouth places Chinese pirates worked side by side with border ruffians and broken men from Europe, gambling, drinking, quarreling, and murdering like wolves. And then when I go on to remember that all this epical turmoil was conducted by gentlemen in frock coats, with a view to nothing more extraordinary than a fortune and a subsequent visit to Paris, it seems to me as if this railway were the one typical achievement of the age in which we live, as if it brought together into one plot all the ends of the world and all the degrees of social rank, and offered to some great writer the busiest, the most extended, and the most varied subject for an enduring literary work. If it be romance, if it be contrast, if it be heroism that we require, what was Troy to this? Robert Louis Stevenson. Chapter 1. In the early 60s, a trail led from the broad Missouri, swirling yellow and turgid between its green grove borders, for miles and miles out upon the grassy Nebraska plains, turning westward over the undulating prairie with its swales and billows and long winding lines of cottonwoods, to a slow, vast heave of rising ground, Wyoming, where the herds of buffalo grazed and the wolf was lord and the campfire of the trapper sent up its curling blue smoke from beside some lonely stream. On and on over the barren lands of eternal monotony, all so gray and wide and solemn and silent under the endless sky. On, ever on, up to the bleak black hills and into the waterless gullies and through the rocky gorges where the deer browsed and the savage lurked. Then, slowly rising to the pass between the great bold peaks and across the windy uplands into Utah, with its verdant valleys, green as emeralds, and its haze-filled canyons and wonderful wind-worn cliffs and walls, and its pale salt lakes, veiled in the shadows of stark and lofty rocks, dim, lilac-colored, austere, and isolated. Ever onward across Nevada, and ever westward up from desert to mountain, up into California, where the white streams rushed and roared and the stately pines towered, and seen from craggy heights deep down the little blue lakes gleamed like gems, finally sloping to the great descent, where the mountain world ceased, and where out beyond the golden land asleep and peaceful stretched the illimitable Pacific, vague and grand beneath the setting sun. Chapter 2. Deep in the Wyoming hills lay a valley watered by a stream that ran down from Cheyenne Pass. A band of Sioux Indians had an encampment there. Viewed from the summit of a grassy ridge, the scene was colorful and idle and quiet, in keeping with the lonely, beautiful valley. Cottonwoods and willows showed a bright green. The course of the stream was marked in dark where the water ran, and light where the sand had bleached. Brown and black dots scattered over the valley were, in reality, grazing horses. Lodgepole tents gleamed white in the sun, and tiny bits of red stood out against the white. Lazy wreaths of blue smoke rose upward. The Wyoming hills were split by many such valleys, and many such bare, grassy ridges sloped up toward the mountains. Upon the side of one ridge, the highest, there stood a solitary mustang, haltered with a lasso. He was a rag.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?